This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken us through to chapter 46 of the Shamail. This is a chapter 46 is a chapter on the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if you think back, the last few chapters were actually about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's salat was in his house, in the masjid, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's worship was, and the chapter before this was how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cry, and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite. The chapters about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to dress already passed a while back. If you remember, all of his dress and everything passed a while back. But now in this one, Imam Tirmidhi suddenly brings in a very short chapter after all of the worship aspects about the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the next chapter is then on some other aspects like the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tawadu, humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why does Imam Tirmidhi bring this chapter here? Think about it. Why does he bring this chapter on the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the clothing passed by a long time ago, and then he talked about worship and everything like that? Why do you think he brings in suddenly the bedding? No, because the bedding has to do with throughout his life, right? The ending of his life is coming later. We still have about 9 chapters. Now, the reason here is Imam Tirmidhi's idea of bringing this, of compiling this kitab, is not just to put the hadith together under chapter headings, but even the chapters have been organized in a way that should nurture us and make us better Muslims and better followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, although he talked about the clothing and everything, and then he talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's worship, then he talked about crying, that crying is further to strengthen, soften our hearts and strengthen our resolve for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that chapter, he brings in the bedding to say that your biggest culprit is your bedding sometimes. So the bedding is mentioned here to say, if you want to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and increase your worship and cry like him, then don't waste too much time in your bed. Because people do many things in their bed. They sleep. Many people waste their lives away in their bed. A good portion of the night is spent. One third of our life is spent in the bed, right? So obviously we're not speaking about those people who only sleep as much as they actually need, where they're working and then they go to sleep because they have to go to sleep just for reviving themselves, just for refreshing themselves. We're talking about people who love sleeping. So they, even though they're adults now, they still like to sleep for 10 hours. Which is recommended for younger children generally. You know, because they recommend for school children, make sure they sleep 10 hours, 11 hours or something like that. Put them to bed at 8 o'clock at night, at 9 o'clock at night, put them to bed, you know. So there's some adults who do that as well. And there's some adults who may not sleep for that long, but then they waste their time doing something else and not something for themselves. So the whole idea of this is that if somebody's read these hadith and heard them and studied them and taken them in and thought about them, then it comes down to your bedding. And then it gives us some inspiration about the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This chapter is a very short chapter, only 2 hadith in here. So inshallah, let's look at that. So that is what the commentators, they say that as well, that it's to soften our hearts furthermore, that too much sleep is going to waste your life away and you're not getting anything out of it. This is too much sleep beyond the recommended, right? Everybody knows how much their body needs, really, right? Some people, they need more because they're habituated to it. Or maybe they eat a lot, so then they have to sleep a lot. So let's look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he dealt with this, because he was perfect in everything. So inshallah, there's a role model even in his, how he had his bedding and mattress and so on. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Babun ma jaa fi firashi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وبالإسناد المتصل منا الإمام الترمذي قال حدثنا علي بن حجر قال حدثنا علي بن مسهل عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت إنما كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي ينام عليه من أدم حشوه ليف. وبه قال حدثنا أبو الخطاب زياد بن يحيى البصري قال حدثنا عبد الله بن ميمون قال حدثنا جعفر بن محمد عن أبيه قال سئلت عائشة ما كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيتك؟ قالت من أدم حشوه من ليف. وسئلت حفصة ما كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيتك؟ قالت مسحا نثنيه ثنتين فينام عليه. فلما كان ذات ليلة قلت لو ثنيته أربع ثنيات لكان أوطأ له، فثنيناه له بأربع ثنيات. فلما أصبح قال ما فرشتموه لي الليلة؟ قالت قلنا هو فراشك إلا أن ثنيناه بأربع ثنيات. قلنا هو أوطأ لك؟ قال ردوه لحالته الأولى فإنه منعتني وطاءه صلاتي الليلة. So we first look at hadith number 335, which is the first hadith of this chapter. This hadith is related from Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha, this also related by Bukhari and Muslim, mentions that the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-firash means bedding, something you sleep on or something you sit on. So it could be anything that you sit on or sleep on. So the firash of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alladhi yanamu alayha, alayhi. That's why she specifically mentioned the one he used to sleep on, which indicates that he had another bed, he had another something on the ground on which he used to sit. Now you might be thinking, we can sit on the ground because we have carpets in our house. But when we're talking about the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no concept of a carpet. Every room, you buy a house, you make a house, you have to carpet it, or laminate it, or do something else crazy like that to it. You know, something even more, yani, oak wood or whatever it is, right? So there it was just, you built four walls and you had a curtain in front of the door. That was your door, and the floor was just a floor. It was just sand or whatever it was, pebble, sand, whatever it was. So you needed something to sit on. The masjid was like that as well. That's why if you look in the books of fiqh, it mentions that when you're going to sajda, to prostrate, you're allowed to, if the pebbles are very uneven and they're going to be really harmful and they're going to really irritate you, then just with one hand you can quickly try to smooth them out. Subhanallah. I think I've mentioned this before, that wherever we are, even if it's on natural sand, we're going to still put out a musalla. We're just so used to praying on a cloth. Right? Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to one of my ustad, Mufti Shabir Sahib, he says that there is not a single hadith from which you can prove that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually prayed on something other than the ground, directly. Not to say it's haram to do so, but I'm just saying that if you're ever in that situation, as long as dominantly you think that it's pure, we generally think we're not sure. We have to prove it's pure, but actually it should be the other way around, that you have to prove it's impure to be able to pray on it. Anyway, that's a different topic. But this indicates that he had something else to sit on. And we don't mean a sofa set, something plush. It was just some other piece of cloth or something that was there. That you see on, if you'll understand from this one. So she says that the one that the firash, the bedding that he used to sleep on, was min adamin. It was made of leather. I think, wow, leather bed, right? It just means that was, you know, you didn't have all of these weird fabrics made of petroleum in those days, you know, or so it was made of leather, essentially two large pieces of leather maybe stitched together, filled with something. That's what it was. So that's what she says, hashwuhu lifun. It was the filling of it, the inside filling of it, two pieces of leather with inside was leaf, not leaves. Leaf actually means, and that's the meaning I was looking for, because in there it says C-O-I-R, but it's actually fibers from the palm tree, which grow off on the side. They use it for many functions. They make rope, they used to make rope out of it. So it's palm fibers. So you filled with that. So it's not the softest thing on the planet. It's not cotton wool, right, or sponge, but it provides some kind of cushioning. against the probably the rough ground or whatever it was. That's what he used to sleep on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not on, you know, Sealy and comfort and this many thousand springs wrapped with camel's hair, and you know, now that's the kind of thing. This bed has 10,000 springs. It conformed to your body with memory foam, and this one's used by NASA, and this foam, and this is used in space, and different things. Come and try it out. This is a water bed, and this is an air bed, and subhanallah. Ya Allah. So we're just mentioning these things to show the contrast, that maybe we can think of these things. Some people, if you got a bad, Allah protects us from back problems. You have a back problem, they will change their beds. And you can't just buy beds for £20, £30. You spend a few hundred, that's not good enough. Then they tell you this one, it's £1,000, £2,000, £10,000. They just go up. There's one brother I know, he's got a bed factory. Up north, Batley is famous, Dewsbury. Batley, Dewsbury is famous for their bed factories. So I know one of them. He said, we make round beds. We're the first ones to make round beds. We sell them to, I don't know, he said to Harrods or somewhere like that. So, Allahu alam, I don't know how you sleep on a, how do you sleep on a round bed? So, hashwuhu leafun, this was made of camel, this was made of palm fibers. Again, this is another good business idea, sunnah bedding. Make a nice leather with palm fibers inside. You know, I'm sure there's people out there who want to buy that. But then to decide how much he had in there, how much it wasn't, and so on, that would be the difficulty. So, what we understand from this hadith, that's the hadith. That is the hadith. Leather with palm fibers inside. But what the ulama mentioned from this hadith is that it's completely permissible to have a mattress, that means. Whatever shape mattress it is, but it's permissible to sleep on a mattress. You know, it's not against the concept of zuhd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest ascetic and zahid. No love for the world, but he still had a mattress. Nothing compared to what we have nowadays, but it was a basic mattress in a sense. So it's permissible to do that. The other thing we understand, the other benefit is you're allowed to use leather, because you know, some animal rights people might say it's bad to use leather because it's animal and so on. Well, it's allowed. Allah has made it halal for us. So yes, you can have leather sofas or leather car seats. And the other thing is, then the ulama discuss whether he had two beds, and whether it's good for a husband and wife to have separate bedding or to sleep in the same bed. And you've actually got two opinions about that. So you've got one group, some scholars, they say it's best to have separate beds. Why? Because it's better, they say, for the body, because each one can have something that's more appropriate for them. And they don't have to have a fight about this bed is too soft and this bed is too hard, right? Because sometimes couples do have that problem. Number two, it's going to mitigate the desire. So you could spend more of the night sleeping and thus tahajjud. It might help in that sense, right? We're saying reducing. We're not meaning like take it out, because that's not halal. To not fulfill the rights of the husband and wife. Not to fulfill the rights, that's not allowed. So he's just saying reducing it by sleeping separately. However, it looks like the others, they all say that the superior to be sleeping in one bed. And that is what Imam Nawawi has mentioned, that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. He used to sleep with his wife in the same bed. And despite the fact that he was able to stand up for tahajjud, so he was able to leave the bed whenever he wanted, and go and stand for tahajjud, even though his bed was not even another room. You know, it was not even another room. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha says that when he used to do tahajjud, I used to have to sometimes pull my feet in so he could make sajda. A very small area. Subhanallah. I mean, when you see, if we were there to see this, subhanallah, it would have been a different thing. From a fiqhi perspective, is it wajib for the husband to sleep with the wife, or the wife to sleep with the husband? Right. So it is for the wife, obviously, but for the husband, it's not wajib. I mean, it's up to them at the end of the day. It's not wajib. They just have to fulfill each other's rights when the requirement is there. That's what's wajib. Now, there's a hadith in Muslim which mentions something that seems to indicate something different. Because the hadith in Muslim mentions from Jabir radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Firashun lirrajul, wa firashun limra'atihi, wa firashun lidayf wa rabi lishaytan. He should have one bed for himself, one bedding for himself, one bedding for his wife, one bedding for a guest, and if you have a fourth bedding, it's for the shaitan. I think we've already covered this somewhere before, in general. So that seems to indicate that they should have two separate beddings. But the majority of ulama, they've explained that no, that's just saying that you shouldn't have too many beds in the house, unless it's for a guest. So if you have so many rooms in your house and you've got beds in all of them and you don't have any guests, you hardly ever get guests, so what is this for? Just to show everybody? Then it's for the shaitan. It's a shaitani action to do that because it's israf. It's wasting your wealth. And obviously, when they say bed for the wife and for the husband, enough room in a bed for both. Because if you have a bed for husband and wife, it's going to be bigger than a smaller one. So that's what they really mean. It doesn't mean that it has to be separate in that sense. That's the first hadith. The second hadith is related from Muhammad. This is a chain of the Sayyids of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Related from Abdullah ibn Maymun, he says Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah relates from Muhammad al-Baqir, grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu. Muhammad al-Baqir, he relates from Ja'far al-Sadiq relates from Muhammad al-Baqir. So Muhammad al-Baqir rahimahullah, he says that I asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it made of? Describe it to us. Now the issue here is that it's established that he never met Aisha radiallahu anha or Hafsa radiallahu anha, which means that he's probably relating what somebody else told him. Because he never met, how can he have asked him? So this hadith is mursal. You call that mursal. It's something that, it's munqati. There's somebody missing here. He's not mentioning who he is. But the hadith is good enough to because it's just telling us the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's bed. So anyway, he said, "Ma kana firashu Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi baytik." In your house, in your room, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's bedding? So she said, "Min adamin." Same thing. It was made of leather. Hashwuhu leafun. Hashwuhu leafun. Its filling was of date or palm fibers. Then he says, "Wasa'altu Hafsa." I also asked Hafsa radiallahu anha. Ma kana firashu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi baytik. What was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's bedding in your apartment, in your house? And she said, mishan. Her bed was different. So you know the first hadith was leather because Aisha radiallahu anha is explaining that. This one, the first one was Aisha radiallahu anha. She said leather, but in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's bed in Hafsa radiallahu anha's house was made of mishan. Mishan means a thick, rough kind of cloth made of wool. Now, that wouldn't be, wallahu alam, it wouldn't be the most comfortable thing in a hot climate, would it? Also, leather in a hot climate, I'm not sure how comfortable that is either. Some explain that mishan, it refers to the kind of clothing that these ascetics used to wear afterwards, these Sufis used to wear of the thick kind of woolen, rough kind of garments to show that we don't take soft cloth. And then she says that this is what we would do. So this wasn't even filled. This one wasn't filled. This was just a thick woolen rough cloth. She says, what we would do is thanaytuhu, or no, nuthnihi, thinyataini. We would double it up. So we would just fold it one. It was folded once over. And fayanamu alayhi, so he would sleep on that. Falamma kana dhata laylatin. There was one day what happened is I decided, she says, Kultu fi nafsi yani. She said, I thought to myself, you know, it's only doubled. It's still very rough. It's not soft enough. So it was probably had enough, it was big enough. So she said, Loth thanaytuhu arba'a thaniyatin. If I fold it into four. So one and then one more. So now you've got four layers. So let me do that. Let me put it into four. Kana awta'la. It would be softer for him. It would be softer for him. And so she said, I did that. No, she says, yeah. فَثَنَيْنَاهُ بِأَرْبَعِ ثَنِيَاتٍ. So we did that. We folded it into four. She said, we folded it into four. It's probably some khadims, some of the servants who are helping as well. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ. Now, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything that night. When he got up in the morning, He said, "Ma farashtumuni, what did you lay down for me today? What was this bedding? You know, where did you get this bedding from? What kind of bedding is this? What did you put down for me?" So obviously he's using the plural, which could refer to the fact that he's saying, "You people," meaning Hafsa radiallahu anha and the khadims, "what did you do?" Now, it was probably dark in those days, so you can't come in and say, "Oh, you know, mashallah, nice bed, new one," you know. So he probably just came and he slept. And that's what he discovered. So when he found that it was softer, he thought it was a new bed. New bedding, rather. Don't be mistaken by bed. There was no... There could have been posts in some cases as well, because the Aisha radiallahu anha says that when we were menstruating, we would put a bowl under the bed just to catch anything that fell down. Which means that in some cases, this could have been on four posts, because it's also safer from scorpions and things like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be on the floor. I remember our Sheikh Maulana Yusuf Sahib, he mentioned this point very clearly, that it doesn't have to be, you know, that hadith indicates that it was elevated on four posts. So in this one, yes, that's what it was. I remember Maulana Yusuf's house, I went there, Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, and he had a bed just made of wood, and there was a thin mattress on there, that's it. Thin sponge, thin one. Just all wood, solid just wood, right? Plywood or whatever it is, and just a thin mattress on there, not like a proper big mattress with springs or anything like that, just a small mattress. He used to say it's good for the back as well. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: "What did you do tonight? What kind of bedding was this tonight?" Qalat kulna huwa firashuk. He said, we told him it's the same bedding of yours. It's your bedding. Illa anna thanaynahu arba' thaniyat. We just fold it into four layers. That's all we did. We just added four. We just made it into four layers, so that huwa awta' lak, so that it'd be a bit softer for you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Rudduhu, return it back to normal." He said, "Return it back to normal, lihalihi al-awwal. Make it as it used to be before. Fa innahu mana'atni wat'atuhu salati al-layla." Very clear. He said, because it prevented me last night from praying. Its softness prevented me from praying last night. We are so far from this, subhanAllah. But you know, if you're able to get up even with your soft beds, it's okay. But you know what generally happens is that if you get into a better bed, it gives you probably a better sleep on that day, right? So then you have to get used to it. I remember I stayed in one hotel, and they had a menu of 9 different pillows you could order. Forget food, right? It was the Conrad Hilton, the signature Hilton's Conrad in Egypt. Right? And the only reason we went there was because we were thrown out of another hotel for having beards. I haven't told you guys before, have I? It was myself, my cousin, and my brother. So first we stayed by Azhar, and then after that we had a friend whose mother, Egyptian, she got this really nice hotel for us. It was a good price. It was, you know, a very luxurious hotel, but it was run, the army has big business in Egypt, they run businesses there. So this was the Air Force, they had their nice 5-star hotel, but good price. So she got us a place in there. We got the keys and everything made. We came back to the Azhar area, we were buying books and so on. Then in the night, we got there about 11 o'clock. So we already had the, you know, we went to make another key. As we're making the key, the guy was making the key for us, and then suddenly he gets a phone call. The person on the reception, he gets a phone call. So he picks up the phone and he's like looking at us and everything, like, "What happened?" He comes back and he says, "I'm really sorry to tell you, but you can't stay here." "What's wrong? We've got a booking, everything, it's all done." He said, "No, I just got a phone call from security that this is a military establishment, and in the military you're not allowed to have beards, and you guys have beards, so you can't stay there." So he's saying, "But what's... call this guy. Who is this guy who's saying this? Call him down here." You know, was it like a sissy sitting up there? "Tell him to come down here and talk to us. You know, you act like a British guy. You think you got rights, you know." So you start talking. This was in Muslim Mubarak's time. Alhamdulillah, he's out. So he says, he took us to the side. He goes, "Look, to tell the truth, I'm with you on this. But we can't do anything." Because in those days, it was, that's it. They say something and it goes. "Can't do anything." Now we're thinking, you know, 15 minutes, we did some, you know, we talked to him and everything. But we're saying, "Call the guy down. We'll talk to him." He goes, he can't do anything. So he took us to the side. He said, "Look, I really, if I was not working, I'd have a beard, but it's just not going to work. We thought then, you know, it's 11:15 at night, it's going to be 11:30 soon. Let's go and find something else before everything gets booked up. We need to stay somewhere the night. So we left, and we found another hotel close by. We stayed there for a night. Then we had another contact who found this hotel for us for a very good price, the Conrad Hilton. Now, what's very interesting is that the Conrad Hilton, which is one of the best hotels there, it's owned by a Christian guy, one of the richest guys there who owns one of the mobile companies, and he owns I forget his name, Christian. My friend's mum, she made an observation the next day. The Muslims don't keep you, but this Christian does. Where are we coming to? So although there was no law against the beard in these countries, they would hassle you if you had one. They would just make it difficult for you. So it was a silent kind of law, if you understand what I mean. So there's no law that you can't have a beard, but it was silent. Then I went to Alexandria, and I've got a friend there, and he told us that sometimes they will wake you up at 3 o'clock at night, the police will come wake you up at 3 o'clock at night if your car's parked outside, if you have a car. Move it out because some governor or somebody's going to be going past. So they want all the cars cleared out. You have to wake up, everybody in that area has to wake up at 3 o'clock at night and go and move their cars because somebody's going to go past. How long does that dhulm work for? It doesn't. That's why Maulana Tariq Jamil keeps saying that a country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow it to function smoothly even if they do shirk in that place. And kufr. But dhulm, it won't function. And that is one of the successes of the West. Even though we got kufr here, but there's a smooth running. Because there's justice at least, at some level, alhamdulillah. Any country, even Muslim can have justice, Malaysia, other places, have justice. It works. Where there's corruption and dhulm, oppression, then it's going to be corrupt. Allah doesn't allow that to happen. But alhamdulillah, that's all gone now. You know, that's gone. But so it was in that new hotel we got there, and you know, you got big breakfast that's the size of, 100 meters of food. Different foods, I'm sure some of you have seen that in Saudi and other places, but that was the first time I saw something like that. But the bedding, they next to the bed they had this card, and it was all based on Egyptian, the Nefertiti bed, the Nefertiti pillow, the Ramses pillow, Pharaonic, theme. So this pillow is like this, and this one's memory foam, and this one's this, and so you can order whichever one you want. I'm not promoting that hotel for you, but I'm just explaining that this is where people will go to in the world. And you know what? We all love this kind of stuff. The more money you make, the more you see somebody else in your family doing something like that, you do the same thing. We're all doing this. Nicer carpet. This, start off with £15 a square foot, £20, £30. We want this one. It's got this many threads per inch. This is what we're all doing. This is the kind of sofa we want. This is the kind of TV we want. Then something new comes out, so we want that one now. We're laughing, but this is exactly what we're all involved in, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, take it back, make it back to what it was, because this prevented me from salat. This prevented me from salat. Now, why did the Prophet ﷺ do this? The ulama mentioned that, so he missed his tahajjud that day apparently, right? Or he got up late, or whatever the case was. So maybe he did that so that the abideen, the people who like to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can understand that this is one of the ways to prevent yourself from sleeping too much, is to have this kind of rough bedding. So you just, if you're really, really tired, you can sleep anywhere, they say. So you get to sleep and then you wake up. You've had your sleep, now carry on. Subhanallah. The other thing, what we have noticed, is that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, he tried to do something that even the poor people could follow. The Prophet ﷺ tried to do something that the least person, right, among the ummah could follow it, so that this does not become an exclusive deen for the people with money or of substance. But he used to think of the lowest of the low, and hence, yasluku bihi masalik al-du'afa. That's why he said that he is tashri'an liya'lam man yaqa' lahu mithla dhalik kayfa yaf'al. So even the people who are poor, they will look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not, he could have woken up, his heart did not sleep. So he could have woken up. So really, the question that arises is that it's not really the bedding, is it? But he's using that as an example to sympathize with the poor people. That people who can't find a nice mattress or whatever, look, your prophet, this is what he slept on, and this is what he insisted on sleeping on, so don't feel bad about yourself. You can still be successful. So he gives them comfort. So the Prophet ﷺ used to think of the lowest common denominator. What this tells us though, that he had different types of bedding. He had the leather one that was filled with something, and he had this one that was just doubled up. So a variety of different types. But it tells us it's allowed to have different types of bedding that you want. However, for the person whose heart is really inclined to these things, just for the sake of being having something good, then he should try to take it easy, because then if it makes him lazy, then he should take it. This is a solution for him to come out of that. Otherwise, a person who has a nice bed, but he can still wake up at tahajjud, and that, there's nothing wrong with that then. There's nothing wrong with that. Because at the end of the day, you could also say that the Prophet ﷺ could have even slept on the floor, but the reason that he slept on a bed, even of this nature, was for his wife. So you could look at this in many different ways. Because there's another hadith in which Bukhari relates this hadith from Umar radiallahu anhu. He says that, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once to visit him. فَإِذَا هُوَ مُطَّجِعٌ عَلَى رِمَالٍ رِمَالٍ حَصِيرٍ. He was lying on just the sand, the rumal, that's it. He was on the pebbles. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ فِرَاشٍ. That was his bedding. There was nothing in between his body and the ground. He was sleeping on the ground. قَدْ أَثَّرَ الرِّمَالِ بِجَنْبِهِ. In fact, these small rimal, the small pebbles or whatever they were, they had made impressions in his body. So he was sleeping on the floor as well. مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَى وِسَادَةٍ مِّنْ أَدَمٍ حَشْوُهَا لِيفٌ. This time his pillow was made of leather that had... That was filled with this date palm fiber. ثُمَّ رَفَعْتُ بَصَرِي فِي بَيْتِهِ. Then when I saw that, I looked around and said, what else is in his house? فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ فِيهِ شَيْئًا يَرُدُّ الْبَصَرِ غَيْرَ أُهْبَةِ أي جُلُود ثَلَاثَ. There was nothing that would catch my eye as such, except that there were three skins there. Right? Animal skins. فَقُلْتُ أُدْعُ اللَّهِ فَلْيُوَسِّعْ عَلَى أُمَّتِكِ فَإِنَّ فَارِسْ وَالرُّومِ وَسِّعَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعُؤْتُوا الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ لَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ. So I looked at all of this, Umar radiallahu anhu is saying. Remember, these are his earlier days. Because if you look at his last days, he was like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after taking all of this in, I said, pray to Allah, make dua to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more opening to your ummah. That he gives them more prosperity to your ummah. Because then I said, because the Persians and the Romans, Allah has really opened up the world for them. They've been given the dunya, despite the fact that they don't even worship Allah. وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا. The Prophet ﷺ until now was relaxing, lying down. And suddenly he said, أَوَفِي شَكٍ أَنْتَ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Are you in some kind of doubt, O son of Khattab? Are you in some kind of doubt? What's going on here? Are you in some kind of doubt? أُولَٰئِكَ قَوْمٌ عُجِّلَتْ لَهُمْ طَيِّبَاتٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those are a people for whom the excellent things have been given to them in advance. The excellent things of the dunya, has been given to them in advance. So this is the point to ponder on. We have, mashallah, so much good, halal, absolutely. But are we compromising our hereafter because of it? Are we taking it all in advance? That's the question we need to ask ourselves when we want to buy something new. And I need to ask myself, because we've become consumers and a half. We consume, consume, consume. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Immediately he recognizes his mistake. He says, استغفر لي. Make istighfar for me. Seek forgiveness for me. In fact, in Imam Abu Dawud and Imam Ahmad's narration of this from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down on some kind of hasir, on some kind of a mat. فَأَثَّرَ فِي جَنْبِهِ. And it had affected, it had created impressions in his side. And we said to him, it was mentioned to him that نَأْتِيكَ بِشَيْءٍ يَقِيكَ مِنْهُ. We'll bring you something that you can lay down that won't make impressions in your body. And he said, مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا. What have I got to do with the world? إنما أنا والدنيا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح وتركها. I am in the dunya like the person who is riding from one place to the next, a traveler. He's just stopped somewhere under a tree to get some shade and get a nap in. And then after that, he's going to leave it. And he's not going to come back to this tree. Now the thing is that even if you have somebody who does this kind of thing, we don't look at them with inspiration. We look at these kind of people, if they do anything like this, live on the basics, we don't look at them with praise. We look at them as kind of weird. They do this. How do they do it? We have these kind of questions in our mind. We don't say it as an inspiration that I should always also do that. We just think, why aren't they normal? In another version of this narration, we asked him, Ya Rasulallah, Ala ta'dhinuna fa nabsut tahtaka alyan minhu. Give us permission. I will bring you something softer to put down. فَقَالَ مَا لِي وَلِلدُّنْيَا إِنَّمَا مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَثَلِ رَاكِبٍ سَارَ فِي يَوْمٍ صَائِفٍ فَقَالَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَ. Same thing. I'm just like a traveler. Anas radiallahu anhu said that I've seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَرْكَبُ الْحِمَارَ الْعُرَى. I've seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get onto a camel without any saddle, without anything, with any cloth or anything on there. وَيُجِيبَ دَعْوَةَ الْمَمْلُوكِ. If some slave even invited him, he would go there as well. He wouldn't think it's below his status to do that. وَيَنَامُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. And he would sleep on the ground when he had to. وَيَجْلِسْ وَيَأْكُلْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. He would sit and he would also eat on the ground. That means in those days there was also a tradition somewhere to eat above. But the Prophet ﷺ would refuse. He would sit on the ground and eat. This is not to say you're not allowed to eat sitting up on something, but it's the sunnah is to sit on the ground. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu, one day Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa radiallahu anha, they were sent by the Sahaba to tell him that he should allow better food to be brought in front of him instead of this really rough kind of dry food that he used to eat, and he should get some better clothing instead of all of the patched ones that he used to wear, because all of these delegations used to come to him. Hayatul Sahaba, this isn't Hayatul Sahaba, right? And when they came to him and they gave him this idea that this is what the Sahaba are saying and you should do that, he just began to cry. And then he started asking them the question that, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have? Because one was his daughter and one was Aisha radiallahu anha. He goes, I've got the utmost respect for you, but you tell me how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Don't you remember that he used to say that the table should be removed and he should just eat on the floor? Right? So at home as well, as far as possible, you should just try to eat on the floor. At least one meal to make it sunnah. Sometimes people feel that it's inconvenient, it's harder to clean. They have these different reasons for it. It messes up the carpet or whatever it is. You know, it's easier to table than you just wipe it off. People have these different ideas. So if there's if you don't have proper flooring on you, have one place where you lay out a rug or something like that and you eat on the floor at least one meal together. That's a sunnah and you should not leave it, right? We're not saying it's fard, but it's a sunnah and you should try to observe that sunnah. Because as many sunnah as we observe, it's just going to be better for us in the hereafter. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. Jazallahu anna muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'afina wahdina warzuqna. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى. اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية ودوام العافية والشكر على العافية. اللهم احفظ المسلمين جميعا من البلاء والآفات والمحن. اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا لا إله إلا الله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if you're finding this useful, as they say, do that like button and subscribe button and forward it on to others. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.